Welcome into the Chris Collinsworth podcast, joined by the dazzling duo of the Tailgate podcast. My guys, Mike Renner, Austin Gale, properly dressed for this one here. You guys are, you're in a battle for the final spot here, right? I mean, this is Michigan, Notre Dame, and what are we thinking?
We have been on quite the tour this year. Mike and I in the Tailgate podcast, we've been on trips to Tennessee. We went up to Ohio State, Penn State, Notre Dame. We've been everywhere. This is probably going to be the best atmosphere of the entire trip. We're going up to Ann Arbor, obviously Ohio State, Michigan. Michigan is an 8-point dog. Michigan's likely going to lose. They haven't been Ohio State since 2011. But, I mean, this is going to be easily like the game of the year, right? I mean, this is one of the biggest games.
Have either one of you guys been? Have you been in the stadium?
I have been to Ann Arbor once. I've been to the Big House, and I covered a game in Ann Arbor a few years ago. But I didn't get a chance to, like, live in the, like actually be in the audience, actually be in the atmosphere. It's going to be insane.
I've never been, actually. So this is my first time in Ann Arbor.
I've never been either. It's amazing that when Notre Dame played Michigan, when Austin was playing, it was always the second week, which meant it was our first week on the NFL. So we had two games that weekend, and I never got to go, which I really regret. Holly, my wife, who went several times, said that it was like amazing. Like the stadium bounces when they get a hundred. Like you can feel movement inside the stadium when they get it going out there.
We've been to six, I think, or five stadiums with 100,000 so far this year, and it is different than your run-of-the-mill NFL stadium.
You can feel it.
Yeah. 100%. Happy Valley for the whiteout between Auburn and Penn State earlier in the year was honestly
shaking back and forth. The press box is kind of on like,
really? It's the most electric atmosphere I think I've been to this year. I mean, it was literally, Penn State could gain 4 yards, and the entire stadium was just ripping, dude. It was insane. They were in like 2 hours before the game. We got there a little bit earlier, explore the press box, get some food, and the stadium was 60% full 2 hours before the game. Like, college energy is a totally different energy.
I don't think I've ever been inside a stadium of 100,000. I was just going, I haven't been to Ohio State. I haven't been to Michigan. I haven't been to Penn State. Where else?
Tennessee is 100,000, and so is Alabama.
We never played Tennessee in Tennessee. I played at Florida. Ended with a huge fight after the game. That was fun.
Nice.
Anywhere else?
Like Alabama, Tennessee. I think
California stadiums. The Rose Bowl, I guess, would have that.
I think
they are.
Upper 80s or 90s?
Texas and Texas A&M are also over 100,000. But
wow, that's gonna be awesome.
You got to get out, Chris. You got to go out to Happy Valley.
No. You guys are like from the beginning. What did I tell you? I was like, you guys just go.
I
want you to go represent. Now, are you putting up little banners? Do we have PFF banners?
We haven't had, but we have been meeting up with a lot of fans throughout the trip and like giving away hats and just talking and talking ball and all that stuff. But
girls,
we have big plans.
Giving, how many guys did you give the hats to? Every hat was given to a girl. Tell the truth.
I wish it were more.
No, I wish there was. Yeah,
a lot of guys.
It's a lot of It's indicative of the PFF fan base.
Brand. Yeah. Tell your fan base.
Our brand is covered. All right. Very good. All right. Well, let's break this down a little bit because I'm going to admit, I generally, like, I watch some on television while I'm studying on Saturday afternoon. That's a total work day for me. But, you know, it's sort of in the background. And so I'm trying to pay attention. But generally, I watch college football getting ready for the draft in the offseason. So I watch the NFL in the fall and I watch college football in the spring, which is not a bad way of doing it. But so we've got a thousand different things to cover here. But let's start off with the playoff rankings, which are going to come out tonight. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we're going to do this on Tuesday afternoon about whatever it is, 4 o'clock here. So Georgia, that one's easy, right? We're good. They're number one. No battle with that. Ohio State now number two.
I could see it. I mean, blowing out a top 10 team is something that Alabama has not done. I mean, Alabama's number two kind of based off of reputation, but if we're just looking at talent and then kind of how you've performed in your schedule, I think you got to give the edge to Ohio State. And I think the committee obviously always ends up leaning recency bias towards the end of the year. They will give deference, and they did that with Ohio State the year that they won the national championship game when they blew out Wisconsin in the Big Ten championship. So I think they give deference to what are you doing lately. So I do think Ohio State probably jumps Alabama after a close win for Alabama against Arkansas.
Did Alabama hurt themselves with that win? I mean, it was a late touchdown, right?
No, I think anytime you beat a ranked team, style points helps, obviously, if you blow out ranked teams, like I said, with Ohio State. But I don't think they hurt themselves.
All right. Now I want to ask one more question, because this is the one that you always get. So let's say Alabama loses to Georgia, and there's a couple of different ways, right?
Yeah.
You lose, but it's close, and it's game on. Does that knock Alabama out with two losses?
I do think a two-loss Alabama team, if they are in it start to finish and it's on a last, you know, last play situation or last drive for Georgia, their committee, seeing what they've done so far, will put a two-loss Alabama team ahead of a team like Cincy. I do. I think if that game is close, it will be Bama as a two-loss team in the college football playoff.
See, I have a different opinion. I think a two-loss Alabama team, if Ohio State wins out and if Cincinnati wins out, meaning a two-loss team, Alabama team, would be the four seed. I think the committee would be committing, you know, social suicide by saying, let's replay this game you just saw on a neutral field yet again, because that's what it would be. They'd be the four seed having to play Georgia yet again. When it's unfair to Georgia, who is just, if Georgia, say, you know, wins this upcoming weekend, Georgia Tech, then wins the SEC title game, to say, you just completed your whole season undefeated. You just beat this team. Alabama's now on equal footing with you again and gets another chance at it. That just doesn't seem like what we're driving at here with the college football playoff by having this four teams.
And it wasn't like it happened early in
exactly.
the year and you grew out of it.
Literally just did it. So I think at that point, if you have a one-loss Big 12 winner versus a two-loss non-SEC winner in Alabama, they will give deference to that one-loss Big 12
winner. And I do think, too, I think that's probably the best logic to it, right? Because you think about, like, TV ratings and stuff, yeah. right? No one wants to watch Georgia-Bama 2.0, especially after Georgia goes undefeated and Bama is a two-loss team. So I do think even if Alabama maybe is the better team than, say, a Cincy or a one-loss Big 12 yeah. team, like, the committee could talk themselves into the more talented, better football team is the one with Bryce Young there at Alabama. However, we can't play this same game two
yes.
weeks
it's,
in a row.
It's so interesting that they actually get hurt by the fact that they would be the four seed and it would be a repeat. Like, if mm-hmm. they yeah. could possibly be
the
two
seed.
Or the three,
yeah. So, like,
right?
if Cincinnati loses, then they could sneak into the three.
Yeah, you know, it's so Cincinnati. All right, let's take one step before that. So Michigan, Ohio State. So if Ohio State wins, we get it. They're the two mm-hmm. or three at worst. Mm-hmm. If Michigan were to win this game, do they leapfrog Notre Dame, Cincinnati? So you're saying Big Ten's
yes.
getting somebody in.
Well,
and then they've got the
they
conference.
Assuming they win the Big Ten title, which would be Iowa, Wisconsin, or Minnesota, but most likely Wisconsin.
Wisconsin could give yeah. them a headache.
Wisconsin's
right?
got a very good defense. I mean, yeah, they. I could see them slowing down either Ohio State or Michigan. They're a different team now than they were at the beginning of the year. So that's not a given by any means. But if you are Ohio State or Michigan, if you do win out, you're in.
Yeah, because Wisconsin, when I saw them, got destroyed by, I can't remember who it was, but their quarterback was terrible. And then all of a sudden,
it was probably Michigan. I mean,
it might have been
Notre Dame.
Yeah, it might have been. And then all of a sudden, it was Notre Dame.
Oh, yeah, it was Notre Dame.
In Chicago, we were at that game.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it was so, but now apparently they've kind of taken the ball away from them. They're just playing defense and.
They got that running back, Braylon Allen, who's 17 years old, freshman, who's just a monster.
He's
like
averaging
6'2", 240.
He's averaging 7.2 yards per carry against loaded boxes, yeah. against 8-plus men in the box. He's averaging a college football high 7 yards a carry.
So Wisconsin's like dangerous,
oh,
what 100%. You're telling me. So if Michigan, they wouldn't have a chance against Ohio State, though, you think?
Eight-point dogs right now, right? And it's in Ann Arbor. This is probably the best Michigan team we've seen go against Ohio State in the last 3 or 4 years. Like, that's how good they've been on the defense side of the ball.
No. I was talking about Wisconsin.
Oh, Wisconsin.
If it ends up Wisconsin against Michigan, that's a shot. Do you think Wisconsin could beat Ohio State?
I don't know. I mean, I don't think Ohio State, yeah, they blew out Michigan State. I think Michigan State was a bit of a paper tiger. Like, I don't think Michigan State's as talented all around as even Wisconsin is, like, defensively. Like, I think Wisconsin has more options to slow down Ohio State. Now, I think it would be still a double-digit underdog. It would be a massive upset. But I don't think Ohio State's this juggernaut world beater like they maybe have been, you know, last couple of years.
All right, now let's get into the teams that directly impact my soul here. So Cincinnati currently at number 4 in the AP rating. And undefeated, they're the other undefeated team, if you will. I guess UTSA, I don't even know what that is. What is that, Texas?
San Antonio.
San Antonio, dude, they're undefeated. Don't hit on UTSA.
UTSA, I didn't know. I didn't know. All right, so, but if Cincinnati wins, and the reason they're number 4 is they won on the road at Notre Dame, sort of back in Notre Dame part one of the season, as opposed to Notre Dame part two of the season, where they've looked good. So is there any chance that anything could happen here that would leapfrog Notre Dame over the top of Cincinnati into the playoffs?
I don't think Notre Dame is who they would worry about to leapfrog them. I think leapfrogging them is, or I guess it wouldn't be leapfrogging, it would be Alabama beating Georgia. That would keep both of them,
both
I think Georgia and Alabama, above Cincinnati in the rankings. Ohio State winning out, and then Oklahoma State blowing out Oklahoma and then Baylor, which was what it would be. Oklahoma this upcoming weekend, then Baylor in the Big 12 title. That is their path to the committee having someone leapfrog Cincinnati, even if Cincinnati goes undefeated, because Oklahoma State would have one loss, be a Big 12 winner. It would be a close loss to Iowa State. They would have multiple quality wins, whereas Cincinnati only has that one quality win. That would be really the only way I see Cincinnati getting leaped, because they were 5 in last week's college football playoff rankings. And at number 3 was Oregon, who's obviously not going to be making the playoff.
Right. Assuming Cincinnati wins out, right? 14-point favorite over East Carolina, and then they have the AAC championship, which will likely be against Houston. We saw this committee put Michigan over Michigan State after Michigan State beat them.
Yeah.
Am I crazy to think that they would put Notre Dame over Cincy, even though Cincy is undefeated, because they feel they're the more talented team? Like, we had this committee say, well, we put Michigan over Michigan State, even though they lost to Michigan State, because we feel they're the more talented team. Mm-hmm. I could see that. It would be hell. It would be chaos.
Money.
And that's more money, though.
I mean, yeah. There's no doubt, right? Mm-hmm. It shouldn't play a factor. Mm-hmm. But you just wonder, does last year help Cincinnati any at all? The fact that they played an SEC opponent, probably should have won the game, got beat on a last-second field goal.
Yeah.
Does, you know, there should be no carryover, but sometimes there is. At least did they gain some credibility with that almost win last year?
For my money, it should, because this is damn near the same team. They lost, what, 3 guys from that team, 3 like real starters from that team last year. And now, you know, bring back pretty much every core player. They bring back quarterback, the NFL quarterback that they got. They bring back the NFL cornerback that they got. Like, they bring back the NFL defensive end that they got. Like, they have a lot of dudes that are going to be first or second round picks on this team. And that is why they kept it close to Georgia last year, who's the number one team in the country. Now, obviously, Georgia got better in a number of ways, but I do think that that should at least give them the credence of, hey, this isn't Hawaii, you know, going 12-0 mm-hmm. and getting their house by Georgia. Like, this is a real team in the college football landscape with real NFL talent that doesn't usually exist at the Group of 5 level.
No, I would agree. I do think that Cincinnati is getting some love because of the season they had last year. Same with every other team. Like, Alabama, a one-loss Alabama team is only ranked that high because of their pedigree, because of what they've done in the past. So I do think Cincinnati is seeing some of that benefit, but I think money trumps all in this situation. And say Cincinnati does beat East Carolina by 10, and then in the AAC still wins in a narrow win over Houston. If Notre Dame goes on to dump truck Stanford, which they easily could, they're favored by a ton, I could see the committee put Notre Dame over Cincy and just all hell breaking loose.
Is it an advantage now to Notre Dame that they don't have to play in a conference championship?
I said this a handful of times, and Mike disagrees. I do feel that because they don't play in a conference championship, it does benefit them in some ways. I mean, there's so many games this year where they're objectively playing bad competition, right? And early in the season, they're squeaking out games against Akron. I mean, this was a bad football team to start.
And you don't have to have that final challenge.
It's Toledo.
That, you know what I mean? It's like everybody else is having to play that final big challenge, mm-hmm. you know, a worthy opponent to get your way in. And Notre Dame's sitting there after some – they look great.
Yeah.
They look great, but against what?
But I will say, like, if they were in the ACC this year like they were last year, and they get, I don't know, Wake Forest to prove themselves the last game of the year, that's – and they win that game – that can put you over the edge. That guy I was talking about with Oklahoma State. If Oklahoma State just had Oklahoma this weekend win that game, they're not leapfrogging Cincy. But because they have that extra game at the end of the season to prove themselves, they can then leapfrog when you maybe did struggle early on the season. So I'm not sure, like I said, if Notre Dame does get left out in the cold, it obviously would have behooved them this year to have that extra game.
I guess playing an extra game, playing this championship can hurt you and help you. Yeah. You know, like, if you are looking to leapfrog, like, I mean, even like Notre Dame's case, if Notre Dame had a game after Stanford against Wake or something, that could help them, like you said. Mm-hmm. Like, I do think that when you're looking to leapfrog, you need that extra game. But when you are ahead, right, like Cincinnati's ahead of them, but they got two games left, one against obviously ECU where they should win on the road, and then Houston, which will be a tough championship game.
All right, let me give you one that, because this could happen. This could easily happen. Alabama beats Georgia in the SEC championship. Mm-hmm. Michigan beats Ohio State.
You're saying something could easily happen. That one,
that would be
Michigan.
Tough.
All right, well, I mean, whatever. All right, let's say those two things happen. Mm-hmm. Now, what does it look like? Is Alabama the number one team? Is Ohio State number one team?
Well, Ohio State's not. Ohio State's out.
If Michigan wins,
I'm sorry. Right.
If Michigan wins and Alabama wins the SEC championship, I do think they put Bama one.
Yeah, Bama's one. I think it would just be Georgia two, honestly.
Yeah, because you wouldn't want to put Georgia any, like four, yeah, right? And then have them playing Georgia, that next game.
Play, yeah, again, two or three. That's, yeah.
And then Michigan three. And then probably Ohio State's out then at that.
Yeah.
And Cincinnati's in. Because
you can't put a two-loss
non-Big Ten representative, even their conference championship game. It's just a difficult sell.
So Michigan upsets Ohio State, and then Michigan gets beat in the championship game, and you eliminate the Big Ten.
That would eliminate the Big Ten.
And then I think the Big 12 becomes alive, right? Then Oklahoma State starts to get interested.
But then you also – it's wild. It really is wild. It's fun to talk about.
It's fun to talk about, but this is also why, like, 4 weeks ago when people were freaking out that Cincinnati is six, and, yeah, I didn't think they deserved to be six, I was like – it's going to shake itself out at some point. Like we're not going to end up with 5-1 loss teams or 5 undefeated teams. Teams lose every single year. We saw it already with, you know, Michigan State losing multiple games, Oregon losing, all these teams at the top who were ranked highly earlier on. Now all of a sudden the sort of cream rising.
All right, here we go. I want you to tell me what the playoffs should be. There are no politics involved.
Mike has a good take on that.
I want to know who are the best four teams in college football. I don't care if they have a 500 record right now. Who are the best four teams in college football this season?
Okay, so the best four teams is different than, in my opinion, what the playoffs should be. Mm-hmm. The playoffs should be earned. Like, it should be a reward for what you did this season. So if you are Alabama, and I'm not debating that Alabama is one of the best four teams in the country, but you can't lose to Texas A&M. You can't lose to average, slightly above average SEC team if you want a claim to a spot in it. So while I think it's going to shake out, if I had to put money on how it actually shakes out, Georgia is going to beat Alabama in the SEC title game because Georgia is an absolute house. Georgia is the juggernauts that we've seen in years past of these teams that we think of unbeatable, where it's the Clemsons, Ohio States, Alabamas who just roll every single week. That's Georgia this year. They are the lone team in college football that looks like that week in and week out. So I think they can shut down Alabama. So Georgia at one, they're going to beat Alabama. I think Ohio State is going to, at this point, roll through Michigan and Wisconsin, win the Big Ten. They're at number two. And then at that point, I think Cincinnati ends up at number three. I think they win out. And I think they are kind of that next team
the
up.
First other.
The
right?
first kind of other
they would be the
of
first
who's not
other.
Really
yeah.
housing everyone. And then I think Notre Dame sneaks in at four because I think the Big 12, the way the committee has seen them so far, are not getting a lot of love. Rightfully so. The Big 12 does not have a single player on the top 50 on the PFF draft board. The entire conference, they're not going to have a first-round pick for the second straight year. This is just not a super talented conference as a whole. So when you look at Oklahoma State, who plays Oklahoma this weekend, if they win a close one to Oklahoma and lose against Baylor, I just think the Big 12 is going to shake itself out to where neither of those teams, whether it's Oklahoma or Oklahoma State, is going to look dominant over the next 2 weeks to leapfrog Notre Dame in the rankings. And at that point, Notre Dame, they're 119-9 in the month of November against their opponents.
All right. I think it's going to be that being said, let's go to Vegas.
All right.
Alabama plays Ohio State. Who's favored? Let's say that they get beat by Georgia and they're mm-hmm. out of the playoffs. Two-loss Alabama, they're out. If we lined up Ohio State versus Alabama, who's favored?
On a neutral field, I think I would lean Bama.
I don't think that one's more than a point.
Yeah, I was thinking that's a, two. That,
right?
Was
that's a coin toss.
Yeah.
Alabama against Cincy, who's the favorite?
Bama by 5.5.
Yeah,
maybe
Bama
six.
By probably like 6-7.
And how about Alabama and Notre Dame?
Bama by 7.5.
Bama by probably like 10.
Right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, you know, that's the point. Mm-hmm. If everybody who you guys are as big an experts as there are, mm-hmm. if you're telling me that those teams would be So why not Alabama? Exactly. Why shouldn't they stay?
Yeah, that's what, what it should be. And I think this only way this can happen is if Alabama does beat Georgia in the national championship, so they have to earn that. But what it should be is it should be Georgia, Bama, Ohio State, Cincy. Those are the four best teams in the country this year.
I agree there.
Those are the four best teams in the country. So if Bama can go in and beat Georgia in the SEC championship, it goes one Bama, Georgia two, Ohio State three, and then you have Cincinnati four. You get Cincy, Bama, which Cincy's wanted Bama since last year. Since he wants Bama, since he wants to prove themselves on that field, they're going to probably be like 10, 11-point dogs, but whatever. Then you have Alabama, Ohio State, two of the most electric offenses in college football, the two Heisman favorites. I think that's what would be probably the best TV, too.
And it makes it easy at that point.
Exactly.
Because then you could do, if you want to do the Cincinnati doesn't deserve it, and I went to law school at Cincinnati, so there you go. I'm cheering for him to get in. But if you wanted to go for that, you could flip Notre Dame in there for Cincinnati if you're going to say whatever you're going to say about that situation. But that would be nearly impossible when they went to their place and knocked them off, right?
Yeah, I mean, even I would
pretty much be set.
I would, as a Notre Dame fan and alum, I would be like, that's a little too far.
That ain't right.
In my opinion, they could do that, and the money would probably point in that direction, right? But that would be in my the last straw for this being only four teams. Like, right, that's the last straw.
Let me give you another scenario. Is the SEC deserving, and I'm an SEC guy, I went to Florida, is the SEC deserving this year of the kind of respect, or is this a carryover from when the league was great? We've got Texas A&M at whatever, 14, something like that, 14. You've got Arkansas at 25, something like that. But is this now becoming a little ACC-ish where, yeah, you won the ACC Clemson back in the day, but who did you beat? And is it worthy of two teams no matter what?
I do think that it's been overstated, like being in a Power 5 conference sometimes, because a lot of these conferences are top-heavy, and you could argue the SEC is probably not one of the more top-heavy conferences, but Georgia, Bama, Texas A&M, Ole Miss are probably the four best teams in that conference. After that, like Vanderbilt, Missouri, South Carolina, Tennessee, Florida, like we are talking, yeah, they're technically Power 5 teams, but how much better are these teams than a lot of Group of 5 teams? I think that it does get – one of the most overstated things in college football in this committee is that the Power 5 means more. It does at the top, right? The top teams in college football are those Power 5 teams, are Georgia, are Bama. You know, you go to the SEC or the ACC this year has been kind of bad. Wake Forest, Clemson, whatever. But the top teams in the country are Power 5 teams. But the bottom of the Power 5 conferences – there's a lot of teams in the Group of Five that are objectively better, in my opinion.
I will say this about the SEC. So Georgia's going to win, more than likely going to win the SEC. The three teams after them, Alabama, Ole Miss, A&M, could probably have all won the Big 12 or the Pac-12. Like that's, and the ACC. I don't think the Big 10, but I think all three of those teams could have legitimately won. And that's how good the SEC is. Like they still are the cream of the crop by a good margin. But that doesn't necessarily mean, like you said, do they deserve two? Well, if Georgia dominated your conference from start to finish, you don't deserve two because they're obviously the best team. You shouldn't give another team in that conference a chance to fight Georgia. That's unfair to Georgia to have to do that again, to have to, like I said, play another team in your own conference to prove that you're the best team in the country. You've already done that for 13 weeks.
This Thanksgiving, be thankful for family, food, and free bets. That's right. DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL, has a Turkey Day no-brainer you cannot miss. New customers can bet just $1 on any Thanksgiving NFL game and win $100 in free bets if either team scores a point. If Sportsbook isn't available in your state yet, you can still get in on the Thanksgiving NFL action. Make your first deposit and you can play free for millions with DraftKings Daily Fantasy Football Contests. DraftKings is safe, secure, and reliable. And best of all, you can deposit and withdraw your cash whenever you want. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now. Use promo code PFF. Bet just $1 on any Thanksgiving NFL game and win $100 in free bets if either team scores a point. That's promo code PFF this Thanksgiving at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Must be 21 or older, New Jersey, Indiana, or Pennsylvania only. New customers only. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem? Please call 1-800-GAMBLER. Whether it's football success or financial savvy, the right questions help set the stage for winning strategies. Western and Southern is teaming up with PFF to share insights that can help put you ahead on your fantasy and financial scoreboards. Want to hear more about my old playing days or successes behind the scenes with Al on Sunday Night Football? Well, how about a need to know for your financial future? Well, you can ask anything you want right now or both. Every football or financial question you ask earns you a chance to win a catered party for February's big game. And PFF will throw a party worth up to $2,500 for the big game in February for up to 25 guests. How about that? And the winner can choose whatever food you want. Check out the Chris Collinsworth podcast and Western and Southern's Instagram for answers to the best questions each week. This week's question comes from Andrew in Texas. He asks, what is the biggest difference in the way the game is played today versus when you played? That's easy. They can hit you a lot harder back in my day than they can today. So, you know, quarterbacks, obviously, there's a target. It's like throwing a strike in baseball. You can't hit them at the knees, and you can't hit them shoulder pads or above. So that's a big difference. With wide receivers, intimidation was a huge part of the game back then. So all these balls that guys now catch over the middle where they throw it up high and these 6'5", 6'6", receivers go up and make the catch. Well, back in the day, you used to get your chin split open almost every time one of those balls were thrown. I had so many stitches in my chin, it was ridiculous. And you can't hit to the head. You can't do all the different things. You can't jam past 5 yards down the line of scrimmage. So obviously what the league's doing, they want to make it easier to play quarterback, certainly, but easier to throw the football as well. The other part of it is the scuffing of the ball. They used to take the balls brand new out of the box, and that's what we played with. These were the most slippery things you've ever seen, and the gloves were non-existent at that point. You were catching it with your hands. So in some way, you could assume the catch in today's game with the gloves and the catch and run stuff and the diving one-handed catches are all amazing and really fun to watch, and they probably weren't really possible in that same way back in the day. So there you go. There's my therapy session right there about the difference in the game. You can submit your questions at westernsouthern.com/askchris. One more time, that's westernsouthern.com/askchris. And if you're watching on YouTube, check out the link in the description below. Remember, with Western and Southern, you can rest assured on game day. Right now, you can get 40% off any PFF subscription if you use code, you ready for this? Cyber40, C-Y-B-E-R-40. Grades and data are live for every single player who logged a snap last week. Go check out the highest graded players from week 11 and look to find early value on spread picks and player props for week 12. Now, what can you get with a PFF subscription, you ask? Well, here you go. All the PFF's locked article content, PFF's NFL and college football betting dashboards, our grade-powered projections, cover probabilities, and betting values, 0 to 100 grades on every single player, including the top rookies on every team, player prop tool, which shows plus-minus value for every single NFL prop, and more. Support the podcast. Help me pay for all the great kids around here. Yeah, they're men, but I call them kids. And use promo code CYBER40 for 40% off any sub. Let's go to the Heisman Trophy, because Stroud put on a show, right?
Yeah.
This past weekend. Is he the clear-cut favorite? Bryce Young, I keep hearing that. And is there anybody else that you would even put in the category, or is it just a two-person race at this point?
I mean, it's a two-person race. I will cede my position on Kenny Pickett, the Pitt quarterback, even though I truly believe he has been the best actual quarterback this year. PFF grade, he has the highest PFF grade. What he has done with far, far less talent, if you just objectively look at it.
Jordan Addison's been good.
Okay, Jordan Addison's good. But Ohio State is going to have likely two first-round wide receivers this year and a first-rounder next year. Alabama is going to have a first-round wide receiver and probably a second-round wide receiver this year and maybe like a first-round tight end in the future.
First-round offensive tackle.
And a first-round, like, I'm not even getting to those, where they both have first-round offensive tackles as well. Like, this talent around them is unlike anyone else in the country is working with this season. They are still, that's why they're Alabama and Ohio State. And Kenny Pickett is obviously putting up similar numbers, more passing yards, not as good a yards per attempt, right there in terms of touchdowns, at Pittsburgh, where no one puts up those numbers. So to me, that's more impressive, and obviously he's not going to get it. They have two losses. They are not this juggernaut that it goes to the best player and the best team, which is kind of what the Heisman's become. But to me, he's been the most impressive, the most outstanding player in college football. But yeah, it's Bryce Young and C.J. Stroud. The thing is, though, like, how do you decide between the two? Because, like I said, identical in terms of surrounding talent, identical raw numbers, total numbers, PFF grades. It's all goddamn about the same. Like, yeah. There is not a lot to separate these two right now. It's just Stroud's kind of getting hotter at the finish.
I think what you said in that is that the Heisman has become the best quarterback on the best team. And that's why when you look at odds right now, C.J. Stroud is minus 200 to win and Bryce Young is plus 150. No other player in the country has better odds than plus 2200. It is legitimately a two quarterback race between two teams that are, you know, going to be the best teams, you know, one of the best quarterbacks in the country. Georgia's quarterback, if they stuck to one of them this year, it's been a combination of obviously JT Daniels and Stetson Bennett, would probably be ahead of this list. But because they don't, you know, Ohio State's likely going to be the number two team in the country. If they went out and go as the number two, Stroud would win it. If Bryce Young beats Georgia in the SEC championship, he'll win it. It's that simple, in my opinion. I think any other bet's losing money.
So if you're an NFL guru and you get to take one of these quarterbacks, who is it?
Bryce Young.
Yeah, Bryce Young, I think, is the better NFL prospect. But Stroud has been phenomenal this year.
Yeah.
And describe the difference between the two.
Whew, I like Bryce Young's pocket presence a lot better. I think Stroud's a little bit more prototypical physical tools for the quarterback position. But Young is just so good at manipulating pockets. Like, their offensive lines, Ohio State's offensive line, in my opinion, has been a lot better than Alabama's this year in terms of at least pass protection. I think Young's had to do it under pressure. I like his touch. He just really is a polished sort of passer already, whereas, I mean, damn, after the Oregon game, people were calling outside for Stroud to be benched. Like, he's kind of up and down a lot more so than Young has been.
The accuracy hasn't been as good for Stroud either. Like, Bryce Young has been very accurate with the football all season long. I think that's something that when you're looking at college to pro projections and a lot of the work that your friend Eric Eager has done, you want quarterbacks like Stroud or like Young that have been more accurate. And I think it's – but I will say this too, though. It's very early in both their careers, right? Like, Bryce Young and CJ Stroud are not draft eligible this year. They obviously have that next season. So I think a lot of opinions could change as these guys legitimately develop from like 19-year-olds to 20-year-olds.
Sounds like Mac Jones and Justin Fields. I mean, it sounds like is it the style? I mean, is it just what they're developing?
Both these guys can move, though, right? Like, Mac Jones was not coveted as like a legitimate athlete. I think Stroud and Young can both move, and I do think that maybe both of them have better arm talent than Mac Jones did coming out. I think that's why.
Yeah, maybe. I will say Bama's quarterback coaching has been pretty damn good of late. Like, they are developing guys very well and also getting talent. Like, Young was a highly recruited dude. He's 5-star coming out.
Yeah, and I guess you're willing to take the Belichick isms if you go through Alabama. You're willing to do that. Well, this is fantastic, guys. I really appreciate your time. It's so interesting. We get down to such a fun time of year here where college football really does take center stage, and some of these playoffs. Is there something that you guys think will come out of the final few weeks of the season that is going to surprise? Is Ohio State going to go up and knock off two straight SEC teams and win a championship?
I'll say this. I do think that in this Ohio State-Michigan game that we're going to, you know, they just announced the Bednarik finalists. And Aiden Hutchinson, who's one of the highest grade players in the country, was not even a finalist on that award. I think they opted for Kayvon Thibodeau, Will Anderson Jr., and also Hamilton, your guy from Notre Dame. Aiden Hutchinson, if you aren't looking now, is one of the best defensive players in the country, and he's going to be a top five you know, borderline top, you know, top five pick in the 2022 draft. So I do think that's a player that right now maybe won't win the Bednarik or whatever it is, but Aiden Hutchinson's a dude, and I think a lot of people are going to see that this week.
Well, my take is that we're debating a lot of this, and it's really not going to matter because Georgia is the best defense I've seen in modern college football. They are loaded. I have not seen a front seven quite like what they have. I think of all their starters on the along their defensive line and linebacker, the lowest drafted one is still going to be a top 100 pick. They are men amongst boys watching them play in the trenches. They're going to roll through Alabama. They're going to roll through the college football playoff. So we're debating this right now. Georgia's going to run away with this.
So what would the spread be for you have to bet Bama in that SEC championship? Because it's probably going to be like six, right? Six or seven in favor of Georgia. Are you not – if it gets past seven, I am taking – I'm not doubting Saban at that rate. I'm not doubting Saban as an eight-point dog in the SEC championship. Are you?
I'd probably have to get to 10 for me to bet Bama.
Wow. I see. Wow. I think I'm going to ride with Bama. I'm going to ride
Georgia
with Bama.
Did Georgia score that many points? Is that –
I think they. I mean,
you would have to make that like a 30-19 win kind of thing.
Yeah, I mean they've kind of cobbled together some better offensive late with Brock Bowers as a freshman tight end who's looked very good. I think they've improved at least enough to where I just don't see anyone scoring 20 points on that defense.
I mean they've improved a ton, right? I mean people forget that first game and that was when JT Daniels was starting for them. They only beat Clemson 10-3 and Clemson has been awful all season long and their only touchdown was on a pick six from DJ Uiagalelei. I know they're a much better football team than they were then, but that was one of the better teams that Georgia has faced this year. And like I wouldn't be surprised if the game was kind of a sweat like that. I wouldn't be surprised if Georgia-Bama ended up being a 13-10 type of grind-and-pound game because both those teams are really talented. I think it'd be overstated to say Georgia's – I think a lot of people are getting on this hype train of Georgia's going to blow out Bama. I'm just not ready to – I'm not going to be the guy sitting there doubting Saban saying he's going to get blown out, okay? Especially with how good Bryce Young has been this year. I'm out on that.
And Florida changes coaches here. Why now? Like, why? I mean, is it that hot and heavy for the top college coaches out there that you have to get in now if you're going to get in?
Yeah, I think it's because USC, LSU already have the jump. You have, you know, multiple blue bloods already on the search that if you want one of the top names, which would be, you know, Luke Fickell here in Cincinnati, if you really want one, you got to get in on it quick because they're going to poach him as soon as the season ends, most likely.
And you're already seeing now, I think betting odds have the favorite to be Billy Napier, the former Bama coach who's now coaching University of Louisiana. That's a favorite to go to Florida. I think some of the other big names, like they are going to be in the market for one of these big names, Aranda, whoever it may be. And I think there will be, it's a very attractive job, right? I mean, Florida's obviously a super attractive job in the SEC. I think they want to get ahead on some of these interviews and get ahead on this new regime and also want to get ahead like communicating it to the players, right? Like this recruits. Is a big culture change. Communicating it to recruits is also another big part of this. I mean, you saw those Dan Mullen press conferences where he's not even talking about recruiting and stuff like that. I think they're ready for that next step in Florida, even though like he has been, you know, he's led some impressive offenses there in the time.
Snoop Dogg, just get him as a recruiter, bring him all
in. That's all you need.
Just take his peewee teams. Just take them as through the cycle. By the time they get out of there, they're all in the NFL playing right now. Guys, thanks so much. That was a lot of fun.
Thanks, Chris.